Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 14, we're continuing, of course, our study of the history of the first century church. We're seeing the first missionary journey. That's basically Acts chapters 13 and 14. Paul traveled through what's called Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. We're seeing the spread of the message of Jesus Christ, and we see the response over and over, same thing. Some would believe, some would reject, and then there's opposition. We see this morning a really important aspect of what's going on, because instead of just thinking that they go to a town and they tell people about Jesus and they leave, they established churches. They would go. They would lead people to Christ. They would then train people and strengthen the church. And we're going to see them doing that in this passage, in this journey. And we see them going back through the cities in which they had already been. And they appoint leaders and those kind of things. In fact, they do two things. First of all, as they go back through the city, the goal is to strengthen the believers, encourage the believers, but they also, their goal was putting certain men into positions of leadership. They appointed elders. It's a little bit important this morning, because when we think about our church, when we have the congregational meeting in just a little bit, we're going to actually, we have elders and deacons at Stillwater Bible, and this morning we're actually adding three, if you vote for them, of course, we're adding three new deacons. We already have elders, and we're not appointing any new elders, but we're going to see, here's Paul and Barnabas going through the churches and putting up leaders and those kind of things. It ties in, of course, to the Great Commission, evangelism and training and making disciples. As we begin, let me just raise some questions for you to think about. First of all, what is the purpose of the local church? Why are we here? Why do we have a church? Why did we start this church? What's the purpose? Second, who are the elders and what are their responsibilities? And then third, to whom did Paul and Barnabas report when they returned? What did they do when they went back? Where did they go? What did they do? There's some great things there. Well, let's think about it for just a minute. When we say the church, the local church, it means different things to different people. What is the purpose of a local body? Well, why do we come together as believers? Why do we meet? What is our purpose? When we look at our culture and I look at our society, people look at church oftentimes as an organization or maybe something social, something to belong to, something to help meet their needs. So many questions that people ask when they come to a church is, what do you have to offer? What programs do you have? What kind of activities do you have? Well, biblical when you look at the church, it's really an organism, not an organization, but it's an organism made up of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, placed in the body of Christ. We've got different gifts, talents, and abilities, and to serve within the body. The church is really not for our convenience. It is so that we can grow and be trained and equipped to serve Jesus Christ. In fact, the purpose of the body is to make disciples, to evangelize and train. Matthew 28, Jesus came up and spoke, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples." You know, and so the bottom line is discipleship, and that is evangelism and training. And so this morning in Acts 14, as we go through there, at the end of the journey, and they go back home, basically, go back to their home church there, Antioch, we're going to see what they did. They carried out what we'd call the Great Commission. Paul goes from city to city, encouraging the believers, appointing leaders, training them, helping them grow. So when we think about the purpose of Stillwater Bible, it's to make disciples, and that's evangelism and training, evangelizing, which is leading people to try Christ, helping people come to know and understand and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. That doesn't happen here. That happens out there. We come together to worship our Savior and be trained and equipped. We scatter in this community to take the message of Jesus Christ. So evangelism actually is when we're scattered, not when we're gathered. Now that doesn't mean we won't present the gospel, and there may be some people who come to church sometime. They're not Christians. They understand and they trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. And that happens. That's happened a lot of times. But primarily our evangelism is not done here. It's done as we scatter. So we have to, go ahead, stay there. Making disciples is evangelism, seeing people trust Jesus Christ, and then the whole idea of training. The Ephesians 4:12, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry, building up with the body of Christ. So when we think about our purpose, it's making disciples. Evangelism, leading people to Christ, then training them and equipping them. And we're going to see that Paul and Barnabas do both. Let's think about the journey. Let's see where we are on our first missionary journey. This is where we are. They were in Antioch of Syria, and they had been in Jerusalem. They go up there, Paul and Barnabas. Paul had been in Tarsus. Barnabas go up there, he gets Paul. They come over there, and they're together. They leave from Seleucia. They go to Cyprus. They go across the island. They lead this guy to Christ, other people to Christ. They then leave, and they go up to what is known as Pamphylia, a city called Perga. This is in Turkey today. It's called Galatia. It's the book of Galatians. When you study the Bible and you read Galatians, these are the people. These are the churches that Paul wrote to. They went from Perga on to Antioch. They stayed there for a while. They got run out of town. They went to Iconium. They got run out of town there. They go to Lystra. Paul gets basically killed in Lystra. They end up going to Derbe. We'll see that more in a minute. And then when they're through, they come all the way back and then go here. We'll see that more in just a little bit. I just want you to see how that is. Look at what happened last time. Look at verses 19 and 20. There in the city of Lystra, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. I mean, it was an amazing thing. They stoned him. And then it says, while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And we talked about this. Here's Paul proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. And these people come who are opposed to the message. They grab him. They kill it. They stone him. They drag him outside the city, supposing he's dead, and leave. The disciples, the believers, are standing around. I'm sure Barnabas was right there watching. And they're looking at Paul, and they're all saying, he's dead. I mean, this is the man. This is the man. This is the one we love. And all of a sudden, Paul gets up and goes, you know, it hurts when you get stoned. I don't know if you know that, but it hurts a lot. They go back into the city, and then it says the next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And we'll see that. That was the city that we mentioned. Let me show you the outline of what we're going to do this morning. We're calling it the ministry in Asia, and their churches of Galatia. They go back through, and they go to Derbe, and they go back through, and they confirm, and they appoint elders, and they do all those things. And then they come back to the churches in Pamphylia, right at the very edge. Then they come back home and they go back to Antioch of Syria, and they report what happened. And so there's some great things. Now, look again at verse 20. While the disciples stood around him, that's Paul, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, he went back into the city. Let me tell you what you think about this. Now, sometimes we will do something. We might even want to share our faith. Something may happen and we get a chance to talk to somebody and they make fun of us and we go something like, I don't know if I'm going to do that again. I mean, it made me look like an idiot. Sometimes people look at us and say, you actually believe that? You believe that there is a God and that Jesus is the only way? And you're an idiot. You know, you must not have gone to college. You know, who knows? And so sometimes we just go, yeah, well, boy, that made me feel bad. What did Paul do? Paul went from city to city telling people about Jesus Christ, and they killed him, tried to kill him, pulled him, stoned him, and drug him outside the city. I think when I think of Paul and the ministry, I think there are keys to ministry, and two keys to ministry I see is courage and faithfulness. Courage, the boldness to stand and serve. And every one of us, it's not hard. It's not hard to come together. To come together on Sunday morning, we got donuts. I mean, you know, it's not hard as that. You got donuts, you got coffee, we're together. We love each other. We build each other up. It's a great time. But what's hard is going out into this world. Going out into a fallen world where people don't believe what you believe. They're lost and they don't know it. And I want you to understand that people aren't the enemy. The enemy's Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. He controls the fallen world system. People aren't the enemy. They're just fools. They're confused. They don't understand. They don't know. So it takes courage and boldness for us to go out there. The second thing is faithfulness, to keep on going in spite of the opposition, to be faithful. Listen to this. When you think about boldness, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, he prayed. He said, I pray that with boldness I will make known the gospel. Do we ever pray that for each other? Pray. If you want to, pray for me. Write it down. Especially pray on Sunday mornings that at least, you know, when we come together, I'm going to teach the scripture and you can understand that. But if you want to pray for me during the week, pray that I will be bold, that I'll be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is in this, that I will share my faith. And we could pray that for each other. The second thing is the faithfulness. And 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, brethren, it is required of stewards to be found what? Faithful. And that's what we need to do. So when you think about the keys, the courage to stand, the boldness to stand and to serve, and the faithfulness to keep on going, that's what you see in Paul's life. That's what you see in Barnabas. That's what you see in Peter. That's what you see in these men as we're looking through the book of Acts. And we need to be able to do the same thing. Well, look what it says. When the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day, they went away with Barnabas to Derbe. I think the next map it shows this. So they leave Lystra, where he was stoned, and they go to this little town. Now, let me show you something. When it's all over with, the easiest way to get back to Antioch would go, this is Paul's hometown. It's only 65 miles. They could have left right there and gone right back to Tarsus and then out to Antioch. Wouldn't have been a big deal. They didn't do that at all. When it's all over with, they're going to leave Derbe and go right back through every one of these places. These are the places that ran him out of town. This is the place that tried to kill him. They're going to go right back through there. Why? To strengthen them. They didn't just lead people to Christ and say, you're on your own. They said, we'll be back. Their goal is to train them, to equip them, to help establish the church, to put leaders in the church, to help them grow. That's the reason we meet. We're not here just to say, look, let's lead people to Christ and let them go. Our goal is to lead people to Christ and bring them in and train them, equip them, help them grow. So what they're going to do is they're going to go to Derbe. Let's see what happens when they go to Derbe. This thing doesn't always shut off. If it stays on and hits you in the eye, I'm sorry. But anyway, that's what it does sometimes. Okay, look what happens, verse 21. After they had preached the gospel to that city. To what city? Derbe. They go to Derbe and preach the gospel and had made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So in that one verse, it tells what they did. Now, here's their purpose, and that is to make disciples. See, it says they proclaimed the gospel and made many disciples. Proclaiming the gospel, that's evangelism and training. Notice they preached the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says, I'm not ashamed of the message. It's the message that brings salvation to anyone who believes. You have to believe this, that when we go out into this community and we tell people about Jesus Christ, if they will put their faith in Jesus Christ, we bring to them eternal life. We have the message of life. He that has the Son of God has life. He does not have the Son of God does not have life. John writes, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have what? Eternal life. So it's powerful. The second thing they did is, notice, flip next. They trained the believers. Look, after they preached the gospel, that's evangelism, they made disciples. Discipleship is training, and they're trying to train people. They wanted people not only to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but they wanted to train them. They wanted disciples. This is the purpose of our church. If what we did, I mean, this would be great if every one of us led someone to Christ. But if we lead them to Christ and leave them, we've only done half the thing. We need to lead them to Christ and then bring them together with fellow believers and train them and equip them to make disciples. That's the plan, evangelism and training. Now notice what they're going to do. After they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, what did they do? They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They're going to go back through the cities to which they had already been. Now, I said it'd been much easier just to go to Tarsus, Paul's hometown, and then go on back to Antioch. But that's not what they did. They're going to go back to the city that killed him. They're going to go back to the next city, Iconium, that ran him out of town. They're going to go back to Antioch, which ran him out of town. And they're going to teach people. They're going to go back to the churches. And that's the plan. What are they going to do? Next slide. They're going to establish the churches and strengthen the believers. That's the plan. Watch. It's very powerful. I think there's two things. I don't know if I have it here. Yeah. They're going to do two things. We're going to see them strengthening the believers and appointing leaders. These two things. Think about a church. When our church formed, we formed, I think, like in September, October, over a year ago, and it took a little while that as we had together, we had some men who were helping us lead. It took a little bit to establish the church. And then you as a body, appointed elders and deacons. You men were raised up by God to be places of leadership. And this morning, we're going to ask you to appoint three more men to be in the deacon position. We just didn't do it just like that. They took time to train and equip and to raise up. We're going to see the same thing here. Look what, in fact, listen to this. I want to read this to you. We talk about strengthening the church. In Acts 15, you don't have to turn there. Just listen to this. In verse 41, it says he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. In Acts chapter 16, verse 5, so the churches were being strengthened in the faith. See, there's an idea that we're to be taught the Bible, we're to grow, we're to be strengthened in the faith. So look again at verse 22. He says, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. So the first thing I want you to think about is strengthening the believers. And the first thing he did was encourage them. Notice what it says, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Now, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now, when you see continue in the faith, he's not saying, I want y'all to keep believing. That's not what he's saying. To stay in the faith, to continue in the faith, means to live by the faith, the body of truth which we believe. So when it says he was encouraging them to continue in the faith, he's not saying, I want y'all to keep believing. He's saying, no, I want you to live by the word of God. To continue in the faith means the body of truth which we believe. So he said he was strengthening them, encouraging them to continue in the faith. There was a second thing that he did, and that was he reminded them to expect opposition. Notice, saying to them that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Expect opposition. Philippians 1:29 says we've been called not only to believe in Jesus Christ, but to suffer for his sake. Most of us in this room have never suffered for Jesus Christ. There are people in the world that have been killed for Jesus Christ. There are people in other parts of this world, in this country, in our world, that are suffering every day because of their stand for Jesus Christ. We're very fortunate. We live in a country which up to this point is still okay to say I'm a Christian and I go to church and I worship and I can believe in Jesus Christ and I think he's the only way. And we don't really suffer for that. But Paul said, we're not only called to believe in his name, Philippians 1:29, but to suffer. He tells these believers, listen, he strengthens them, encourages them to stand and continue in the faith, and said, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. In other words, there's going to be suffering before you get to be with Jesus. That's not new. Listen to this. John 16:33. Jesus says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Now in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. He has come to strengthen the believers, to encourage them to stand, to expect opposition, to live by the word of God. We have to do the same thing. We encourage each other to stand strong for Jesus Christ. We encourage each other to understand that when we go out these doors, there may be people against us because of what we believe. We want to keep growing and keep standing for Jesus Christ. There's a second thing that they did, and that's verse 23. They appointed leaders. Look at verse 23. When they appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed and with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They appointed elders. Now, they had appointed leaders in the churches. Now, here's what elders are. The next slide. Does the next slide say these men are chosen? We don't have that slide. Huh. Okay. Elders are men chosen to oversee the local body. Realize that the body is led by mature men, set apart, raised up. We're going to come back and talk about elders in just a little bit right at the end. I'm going to give you more information. But notice what it says. When they appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting. I mean, this wasn't just some decision. They met, they understood, they prayed, they fasted, they looked and see who God had raised up. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Notice, these leaders were men who had believed in Jesus Christ and God had raised them up to a position of responsibility. Now, from here, they're going to leave. And I think the next slide is going to show the map. Let me just show you this. They're going to leave Derbe, where they are, and they're going to go back to Lystra, and then Iconium, and then Antioch, and down here to Perga. Then they're going to get this a place called Attalia, and they're going to leave. They're not going to go back to Cyprus. They're going over to here and go to Antioch. And that's going to be the first missionary journey. So if you said, I wonder what Paul's first missionary journey was, they left Antioch, went to Cyprus, went here, 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 turned around and went right back to the same places, came right to there, and then went back there. So it's really simple. We're going to see second missionary journey. They go here, and they go all here, and then way up there. We'll have to get a different map to show where they went on their second missionary journey. But we're going to see that as they go. Look at verse 24. When they had passed through Pisidia, and then they came to Pamphylia. And when they so they're on the way back, they're going back to those cities that they had gone to. And notice it says they came to Perga. And when they, they came to Pisidia and then to Pamphylia. And then look at verse 25. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. Now, here's the key. Next slide. The key is the word of God. See, wherever they went, whether it was Perga, whether it was Pamphylia, whether it was Iconium, whether it was Lystra, whether it was Antioch, it didn't matter. They spoke the word of God, and that is the key. When we go out these doors, we're not giving opinions. We're not saying, well, this is what I sort of think. You're saying, this is what the Word of God says. It says Jesus is the Messiah, that He came to the earth. He died on the cross. He paid for sins. He was buried. He rose again. He conquered death. He offers the gift of eternal life to all who will believe. That's what the Word of God says. You are giving the Word of God. And when we gather together as believers, you have not come this morning to hear my opinions on things, because it doesn't really matter what I think. I mean, I got some pretty good opinions on things, but guess what? It doesn't matter. You've come this morning for the Word of God, because the Word of God is what's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces far as the division of the joints and marrow. It never comes back void. It accomplishes its purpose. It's truth. So that's what you want. And so it says, when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. We must remember that. It's always the word of God, because it's the key. Look what it says in verse 26. From there they sailed to Antioch, and from whence they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had accomplished. If you go all the way back to Acts 13, the church in Antioch put Paul and Barnabas, laid hands on them, and said, go out from here for the work that God has for you to do, taking the grace of God to other people. We do the same thing. As a church, and I'm thinking I'm right, I'm thinking we have at least either 12, 13, or 14 mission groups that we as a church support right now. Some of them are local and some of them are in the United States, but there are some that are in the different parts of the world. We've, in a sense, commissioned them. We said, please represent us. We'll have a small part in it. We want to be part of you, but wherever you go, take them the message of Jesus Christ. Take them the Word of God. I think of Rachel Esinger. You remember we prayed for her back in the first of school year, and she went to Ethiopia. We get emails from her and letters, and we had her right there with a lot of these girls, and we all prayed for her. And we said, I know that other people support her. We have a little part in it, but we love her. And I got an email from her the other day, and I emailed her back, and she said that she is so thankful for our church, and that we just keep praying for her, and that she would be faithful to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it's all about? They go back to this church, Antioch, from which they had been commended to the work of God, for the grace of God, for the work which they had accomplished. Wow. Look at what it says. They had arrived, and they gathered the church together. Can you imagine? They got there, and the people said, you guys have been gone a good while. You know, they hadn't been gone a month or 2 months. They may have been gone a couple of years. Do you understand that? Probably around 47, 48 was the first missionary journey. Okay, remember, Jesus died around 33, 34. Paul may have trusted Christ not too long after that. He's been in Tarsus for 10 years. This whole thing, they had been teaching in Antioch for over a year, and they left. And so they've been gone, and they've been gone about for the year 47, 48. Because in the year 49 is when the Council of Jerusalem meets. So they've been gone about 2 years when they come back. And can you imagine them coming back and people saying, Paul and Barnabas are back? But we called him Saul when he left. He's coming back, call Paul now. We don't know what happened, but he changed his name. Anyway, when he comes back, what do? They arrived. They gathered the church together and began to report all the things that God had done with them, how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Look what it says. The Gentiles were coming to God by faith. They said, we went out there and we told Gentiles and they trusted Christ. Can you imagine? Everybody was all excited. They were saying, wow, it's clear that salvation is by faith. I don't know if we have another slide on that or not. It is. Think about this. That by faith, salvation comes to all people, whether you're Jew or Gentile, Samaritan. It doesn't make any difference. It's always by faith. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not our works. It's faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you're saved through faith. So many people are confused. I read a thing the other day. I was going to bring it to, I have a group of men that meet on Thursday morning, and I forgot to bring it to them, but it was a guy, and he was saying, we need to be very clear on the gospel. And then the rest of the part we read, he added works to the gospel, four different things he said people had to do to be saved. He's real clear, but it's not clear on the gospel, it's clear on works. We need to be clear on the gospel, that it's faith alone and Christ alone, that you're saved simply by faith. Let me ask you something. If it's by works, any of you guys going? None of us. Listen, we can never do the righteousness, the works of man is what? Filthy rags. Listen, we don't have anything to offer God. Living a good life doesn't do anything. Trying to live a good life doesn't do anything. Jesus has done it all. He's paid for it. He rose again. He's conquered death. He's paid for sin. He's offering a gift. It's not if we're going to try to live a good life, he'll save us. You can't live a good life. One sin and you're out. Jesus Christ said, I'm giving you eternal life as a gift by faith. God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Look at verse 28. They spent a long time with the disciples. They're going to spend a good while, probably about a year, maybe longer than a year, and then the issue is going to come up in Acts chapter 15, and for all the college students who are going to be gone for Christmas, don't worry, you're not going to miss it, because we're going to do some Christmas things and some other things, and when you get back, we'll be in Acts chapter 15, and you'll see what happened when people say, you have to keep the law to be saved. How do you think Paul reacted to that? He said, I don't think so. We'll see it. Now, let me do this real quickly before we close. I want you to see some things about elders, because this passage says they appointed elders, and I've got that there are two offices in the local church. Next slide. Elders and deacons. We have six elders at Stillwater Bible. Deacons, we've got a few, and we would like to add three more this morning, but that's the two offices. Elders as a whole look at spiritual oversight. Deacons, now they have to be very spiritual men. That's why we're talking about it this morning, but they do more of a service aspect. This is elders. Let me just do three things real quickly. Who are these people, elders? What is their role? What are their characteristics? And let me just say it, bottom line, who are they? They are mature men who oversee the body as they shepherd the people. That's what the elders are. Now, I'm called an elder teacher. I have a spiritual gift of pastor teacher. I also have an office of elder. We have men, five other men in our church, who have the office of elder. They've been raised up by God to be mature men to help shepherd the flock. What is their role? And quickly put, that they guard themselves, they shepherd the flock, they pray, and they're an example. That's why you'll see our leadership at the church. If you get here early, guess what? These men are already here. They're setting things up, they're setting things, getting things ready, they're getting ready for ministry. One of the great things about this local body is the men that God has raised up to be positions of leadership, they are visible men. They are doing ministry, and you can see them do their ministry. So I thank God for them. So what is their role? Just quickly, they guard themselves. No, go ahead and go back. Guard themselves. They shepherd the flock. They pray. They're an example. And then the third thing is, what are they like? What are their characteristics? 1 Timothy chapter, should be 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. The key is they're above reproach. They're godly, mature men. Now, that goes for whether you're an elder or a deacon. So the men in just a minute that we put for you to vote for, the men fit these characteristics, and that's the key. So we just wanted you to see that. This morning we've seen they leave Derby, they go back through, they establish, they strengthen, they appoint leaders, and then they go back to Antioch and report. So let me give you the application real quickly and we'll close. Let's be faithful to fulfill the purpose of the local body. What is that? That's to make disciples. That's evangelism and training. We lead people to Christ, and we train them and equip them. Primarily, we scatter for evangelism. We gather for training. That's the key. We've got to do that. If you talk to anyone in leadership, if you talk to anyone that's been through our membership training, if you talk to our normal members, if you're not a member, you said, what is the purpose of Stillwater Bible Church? We would say it is to make disciples. That's evangelism and training, equipping the believers to do the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Second application, expect opposition. as we make disciples. Just expect it, because it's a fallen world. And as we go out these doors, you're going to have to expect that there's going to be issues. So here's what we do. A, share our faith and teach the word. That's what we really need to do. Share our faith and teach the word, because that's what we do. It's evangelism and training. Evangelism and training. Expect opposition as we do this. And B, look at this one. Strengthen fellow believers. How do we do that? We encourage them and we tell them to expect opposition. I've seen people trust Christ as Savior and begin to grow, and people say, now that you're a Christian, everything's going to be smooth sailing. Right? Has that happened? No. And that's why sometimes people get all confused. When you become a Christian, you are an enemy of the fallen world. You don't expect smooth sailing. You expect a battle. You're in a war. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, you got to put on the full armor of God so that you may stand firm. You're in a battle. And that's what we do. And so we got to strengthen each other. That's why we teach the Bible. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have SBI, Stillwater Bible Institute. That's why we have Bible studies and things, so we can train people. That's why we have Sunday school. If you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing out on a pretty good teaching time that you can get some good stuff so that you can continue to grow. The third thing, pray for the leadership of Stillwater Bible Church. Pray for the men who are already in places of leadership. Pray for the ones that we're raising up this morning. There are some great men that God has raised up. I couldn't be more excited about being in a church with men of this caliber in places of leadership. Wow. So may we make disciples, encouraging one another as we serve God, praying for those in leadership in our church.